Blog Talk Radio.
On the 3rd of February 2019 from a location in Ontario, Canada. This is a unique history that's like any part of the world, it's still forming. Day by day, this is we aren't of that nature. We're a much younger country here. And this is the place where something that important, something so precious to us in its entirety, was put into our hands to preserve, to protect, to enjoy, to enable us, like the ancient brethren before us, to enjoy and participate in this opportunity that's called Freemasonry. Our history here in Canada and in Ontario is unique, just as unique as the color of your eyes or the way that you see the world through those eyes. It's like a fingerprint. So we do things similar, but we are, just like you, driven forward by an interesting mindset. It's if you think about it, it's a symbolism, and we are part of that. A very, very odd way to think of ourselves. Yes, I agree. It helps to explain when we're looking at the comparables, if we're doing it impartially, it helps to explain why we do things the way we do. Easy, yes, easy to simpler to look at the possibility. And always, it's like taking a studio of people from this part of the world, a salon of thinkers from this part of the world, into the Louvre and say, well, there's the potential for art. So we're going to create a studio here and keep that potential in mind. If anything is, we may have schools of thinking, we may have schools of architecture. You know, the easy low-hanging fruit would be the Bauhaus or the Chicago School. We may be able to, we'll see Art Deco in the threads of it throughout history, but to say that this is the challenge and we're expecting to continue on is like saying, well, we want you to we're going to tell you to employ a style of art that is of the Baroque nature. And we would say it with the same, we have to say that with tongue in cheek, wouldn't we? But if you were to come up and decide that you're going to create in that school of thinking, nobody would fault you for that. Nobody would find fault. Of course not. That would be your interpretation of the world that you're working in and the idea that's inspiring you. So similarly, that's what is happening around us here in this part of the landscape. We have so much to do, and we are so young. Right now, because this gift has been so precious and sought after. Our earliest days of masonry here depended on the blend of military warrants and more, perhaps in arguably in my mind, the Irish Grand Lodge, the Irish traveling warrants, challenge us to understand the mindsets of those people coming together. And at the Lakehead, which at that time was past York and into the Hamilton region, the Schismatic Lodge, you could say the Schismatic Lodge in Niagara was a prompt. There were a lot of prompts that caused us to stand up and declare that masonry was going to happen in this nation, in this forest, in this new land. And we weren't in any way waiting patiently on our mother lodges in England. May well have been, and of course we're products of the time. Remember, the revolutionary thinking in the United States was still, had still left smoke powder in the air. Breakaways. And this was after the mindset of the French Revolution and toward the end of the 18th century. So that idea that these threats, in a way, these declarations, could have unintended consequences was on everybody's mind. So nothing was taken lightly. Alliances and friendships mattered a tremendous amount. Unique? Oh my goodness, yes. And still building. So sit back today in your favorite armchair with your fist wrapping around something that you can sip and listen and yell at to the screen, yell back. I think today you're going to be pleased with the work that is being offered to you. The commentary, when craft work is more than craft work, building a reputation at every move, I think is going to resonate with a tremendous amount. But before we get into that, we have so much. We're going to start it off with something to help galvanize the mind. And I would implore and hope that each and every lodge provides the opportunity. Not that everybody should participate or feel like they do forced to. We've reached that point where if there's change, it's often felt, it's uncomfortable. It's like putting on new shoes. They're too tight. Those new shoes are restrictive. Well, in our part of the world, we're very, our reasoning is a blend of nostalgia and fantasy, mixed up with expectations and hopes and unfulfilled realizations of older men. So sit back and enjoy. I hope you like the program. This is a very, very lovely pianist who seems to, toward the end of his career, just to have become part of the music himself, Bill Evans. Thank you. like to think that jazz is the music of the masonry. At least it is for me. It's expressive and it's innovative and it resonates with a certain theme. When you hear it, you know it. It has a universal appeal. It's not for everybody. And the roots are absolutely remarkable. The fact that it has an audience. The fact that it's used to hail the nation of the slave owners that were a part of a stain on the conscience of humanity. It's just remarkable. And listen to it. Just that subtlety, that beauty, whether you're hearing a Ellington or Coltrane or Davis, whether you're hearing big band or soft piano or a human voice, Sarah Vaughan or Blossom Dearie, it's there. It's there. Great way to start any show, I would say. Tune in. That's Bill Evans. That's just an absolute joy. Kraftwerk. I've long wondered, as some of you may, about the nature of change and in us and understanding the different dimensions and facets of Freemasonry, and it's a fascination, but you can get lost in that, and I think that's unproductive. It's your head in the clouds. I think there's times when we learn a tremendous amount being in the room with the serious-minded scholars, the historians, the people studying our symbols, where we sit down and listen to their impartial views. We can't do that. We, of course, you and I, when we're doing our researches, are immediately discounted. Of course we would say that. Of course we would. We are going to burnish the flower. Of course, we're going to make the history sound the way we want it to sound, further from the truth. We do that, of course, but we do so much more. And if somebody was to say, "Aha, we've caught you, we found you out." Somebody embellished. You're talking about the Morgan story, so of course there's deniability. Well, truth is what it is. Of course, Blackfriars Bridge. Well, after all this time, we don't exactly. If we're sitting on the edge of our seat after all this time, there's something wrong there, gentlemen. We don't have those kind of moments. We contemplate some. The uniqueness here is quite remarkable. We have one of the countries, one of the nations in the world, standing up and giving of your time is not a burden. Is not a burden. We do it willingly. We call it volunteering. Especially, we see it hit the headlines in times of disaster. Oh, we may have the odd, troubled person that will actually take advantage of a vulnerability. We do. We, after all, there's 37 million of us now. So that's just the math. We're going to have those distortions of the human spirit that's out there, but you look around and we always find them. we always do, and we'll take care of that business. And no, it's not going to be with the taste of blood in our mouths and vengeance in our hearts. No, they very quickly get the idea that we're going to be objective about it, and they become a commodity, and we're going to deal with them under the under as much compassion as our laws prefer. But they no longer have control of themselves. Eh? That's what they give up. And here, man, that's hard. Where I am, this nation is amazing. It's huge and it's beautiful. And the people in it are affected by this land. It's just... And as people begin to feel rooted in Canada, some, it's the first time they step foot on the soil. Some, it's those discoveries. Maybe it is as silly as renting your first canoe or going on putting a paddle in the water and somebody teaching you how to do it. The sounds, the feel. When you're under the stars, it is spiritual. When you're under the aurora, and when you look out over the city lights at night, over Montreal or Quebec or Toronto or Calgary, it's magic. It's magic. So craft work, what we do, that's our work. That's rolling up the sleeves, taking the plans of the architects and the artists and rolling them out on the table with the trades and the engineers and the artificers and making it work. Oh, don't think that it's just a great mind that makes this happen and things like that. No. It's the skill of the craftsmen that we see, but how to coordinate all of that, we give the architect, especially in masonry, these themes are pretty evident, we give the architect their due. And the work of the agora, the masses, is to agree in some way with the compromises to make these big projects happen. Small nations can't do it. Small-minded nations are driven by despots, those egoists, where we see these monuments to themselves. That's just troubling. You may be used to it. You may have grown up to see your fearless leader's face all over the place, but that's ego. No, there's nothing inspiring that. There's people like us that live in a world where we seek out inspiration and we appreciate it for what it is. The rest of us appreciate inspiration for what it does. What it does when, and with Masons, the one thing that inspires Masons is watching and discovering somebody that's inspired. Oh, it's like this current that just spreads. And you have to look for it. You have to want it. Nothing at all... to embellish with the philosophies, the symbols and history of Freemasonry. That is Masonry as much as the application. You and I are accepted into an applied field of philosophy. You search for the truths, you can find that group of alchemists still at work at their in their labs, searching for truth through that connection between the metaphysical and the physical. You can find the expression of the truth of Freemasonry in the volunteerism, the assistance to people in need. Oh, it makes people like me cringe sometimes that we don't necessarily put a Masonic spin on it. I'd like to think that when we do, it's also able to express the philosophy of our of the craft. But all that aside, we're helpful, good people, good men. And we know that it's not easy for us to get into harness. It's not easy for anybody. But once you get there, you can see that you begin to look objectively that there comes a time when uniformity is really important. And there comes a time when the individual mind, the mind of the individual in that collective is important. Where I am, we're discovering that. There are boys and girls that are coming back from battlefronts and they're damaged, just like the boys and girls did in the First and Second War, the Boer Wars, all the wars before that. We just ignored the damage, the scars. And we like to declare with some degree of bravado that we were able to suck it up. Oh, no. Don't ever think that. Don't be so foolish to think that taking your own life was just something that we discovered in the 20th century or 21st century. No. Now we see the scars and we see the suffering, we see the damage, and we are equipped with scientists who have looked into the depths. We've looked into the mind. We still are. There's so much about the synapses carrying on behind your eyes that we don't know. It's like so much going on in our oceans. And as we started to explore these new frontiers of the oceans, we discovered all of this garbage in it. And look at what we've done. Nobody paid attention to Prince Charles back in the 70s when he talked about the dangers of plastics. Nobody. It's just a toff, isn't it? Not so stupid. This is the craft work, not Freemasonry. This is the operational side that I live in. I try to understand Freemasonry and apply it. When craft work is more than craft work, referring to a Mason as a volunteer is terribly unfair and not altogether warranted. The division of labor has long been divided into voluntary and involuntary. There is a loud dust-up between the various camps, but whether we call it exploitation or not, the many pay for the disproportional advantages of the few. Craft masonry is such an interesting metaphor on so many levels. As we seek to improve, it gives us ethical standards and many prompts along the way. Each act we perform in masonry defines not only our own effort, but whether or not we have invested the necessary effort to achieve the expected outcome. Good enough is not enough. Each action we take also goes beyond ourselves, validating our claims and building our reputation. Reputation is what others think of us, just as in real life. Reputation is not reformed in a single act. Whether a man's reputation improves depends on his diligence and conviction. Knowing people at large love supporting an underdog, but always only time fades the notion that a leopard doesn't change its spots. Time. The damage to one's ego isn't the opinions of others. It is when ego doesn't care that he errs. At the end of all the excuses we can conceive is the truth that we either accept responsibility and grow or make excuses and remain small. Masonry gives us opportunity to practice our convictions without enforcement, without encouragement, without reward. You know what is expected. It is much more and easily dismissed. But you did give your oath and accepted the obligations of a Mason willingly. Best to buckle down to begin understanding the reason you and I do what we do. Without understanding, the reason we cannot progress. It's that simple. We are the Rosenkavalier until we come to terms with what we actually know to be true. No embellishment, no audience. It's what we call character. Doing what we do when no one watches. Thank you. taste. Chet Baker. I want to share with you now a poet that was born and lived and died on the island where I was born. My chapter still isn't concluded, but I discovered this fellow when I was a dilettante student, you know, rushing around full of more opinion than fact, just enjoying it and just feeling amazed that with that sense of people all working and reading and trying to understand around the university and campus life. You know, this is the work of a Canadian. And as I looked over the years of Masonic Effects, before that, the Masonic Home Companion, I realized that I had been shying away. I had a bias. I was shying away from the talent, exposing the talent and the beauty of things from my own country. And I want to rectify that. That was unconsciously done. This is the work of Milton James Rhode Acorn. He was born in March 1923. And like a lot of people, a lot of young men, he went off to war when he was only 18. He enlisted. And during the battle, he was crossing back and forth across the Atlantic. He suffered a wound from depth charges. And the damage of that stayed with him most of his life. And then he came back home to Prince Edward Island. He moved to Montreal in 1956. And that was when he joined the Labour Progressive Party. And then he moved from Montreal to the Waverly, lived at the Hotel Waverly in Toronto for many, many years. But then he began publishing some of his early poems in the political magazine New Frontiers. A lot of people came back from war with a changed sense of we and they, changed sense of the enemy. A lot did. Oh, I'm not talking about the people that are people that have discovered their vulnerability and are afraid. We are and always have been vulnerable. We can go and equip ourselves and live in bunkers in the woods, but you only get to, life is not a dress rehearsal. You only get to live it once. Some want to savor the finer things. You want to savor the company of a good friend or the love and dedication between Masons. They want to be inspired. They want to look at the sun and feel good about it. They want to deal with the events that happen to them and take them in stride and move on. Not be traumatized. They want to recognize the injury and illness of others. They do. They don't always have the answers. But gradually as we get older, we can go down that path of conceit. Yeah, we can. Bitterness. And look around. You know those men who have felt that the world owes them something and they're bitter. That's men where the character is still wrestling with the values of masonry. The values they never let up to. There's always that wake up moment when you see the love around you. You want to cause jazz hands in your lodge. You just start talking about those issues and those matters of principle that bring us together and bond in this love and the sharing, this joy, the happiness that we're supposed to. You want to cause a ripple of anxiety around you. Here, this is a poem that I want to share with you today. It's called The Island. Everywhere I am, wherever I go, we know it as home. Islanders know it as home. I know. So if you get a chance, do yourself give yourself a gift and visit Prince Edward Island. Just be there. Sit on the shore and listen to the ocean and smell the sea and join us. Since I'm island born's home as precise as if a mumbly old carpenter shoulder straps crossed wrong laid it out, refigured to the last 3/8 of shingle. Nowhere that plow-cut worms heal themselves in red loam, spruces squat, skirts in sand, or the stones of a river rattle its dark tunnel under the elms. Is there a spot not measured by hands? No direction I couldn't walk to the wave-lined edge of home. Quiet shores, beaches that roar, but walk 2,000 paces and the sea becomes an odd shining glimpse among the jeweled zigzag low hills. Any wonder your eyelashes are wings to fly your luck both in and out? In the coves of the land, all things are discussed. In the ranged jaws of the Gulf, a red tongue. Indians say a musical god took up his brush and painted it and named it in his own language, the island. Imagine that.
Thank you.
Masonic effects. I hope you'll not feel compelled. This is to give you options. I began noticing that there were times when people would walk away from lodge meetings with that and talk about what was not there. You know, it was like looking at the archer and seeing, you know, trying to understand what the sculptor was doing. Well, it's what's not there. It's that use of the openings. It's like this space between the notes that gives us music. We have business. We have ritual that's important. We have the business of connecting and seeing one another. And we have the business of etiquette and protocol to teach, always instructing. And then we have the reality, the lessons learned when we don't exercise good judgment. We are talking to men who have little sense of commitment to the craft, the commitment generally. And sometimes we aren't as complete and fulsome with them as we need to be. Oh, one night out a month, that's misleading. When we minimize, we do the applicants a disservice. And that's fueling our public relations problems that are out there. A large amount of it is on us at the end of the day. So Masonic effects is where you can dial it in as you need, as you see fit. Let the secretary rattle on through the agenda, as tedious as it is, and as unimaginative as you find your tolerance stretched a bit. We shouldn't. Right, we shouldn't, but we do. So to set all of that aside, as some lodges have done, it's almost like education or these kind of discussions is an imposition. It's hard to go from one mindset to another. It's hard to go from the reality of, you know, working out the details of our spending. That's important. It's not the same mouthful as putting out some sense of understanding history or the values or the symbolism. We do that here. We can talk. I know there's. I don't think we can impose the works that we need to organize are not an imposition. They are what they are. Great. Good ideas. How we communicate the bridge that connects each one of us to these ideas. Well, that's leadership. And incomplete. That's incomplete. So, and just add a little bit of seasoning like egos to the mix, and you see people not attending. It's unpleasant. These kind of conversations are not the imposition. This is where you're here because you decide you want to be. You don't want to listen. You don't want to tune in. You don't. Anyway, we're going to continue on. It gets under your skin when we're talking about the symbolism. And again, think about it. This would be ridiculous when you're trying to get through ritual and you've seen it. Not everybody is always prepared. And we'll get there. Come on. But that the reality is, you know, a lot of stumbling and the acceptance of inadequate work is just it's not proper. It's not fair to the officers, or certainly not fair to candidates. But it's off-putting when you say, well, let's just set all of that aside for a moment and enjoy these thoughts. Let them wash over you. Every time we have a different speaker, we have a different perspective. But we raise the bar, hopefully, that unsubstantiated opinion is not what we're interested in sharing. Connect it to a value, connect it to answer those questions with us. Is there an ethos? Is there a gestalt to, you know, is there a gestalt to masonry? let us right now continue. Let's continue this on. We're talking about light, remember? We're talking about the effect and the messages, the symbolism. Keep in mind you are, too, part of the symbol. What symbol are you, and how do you go about your business? We were talking about the luminous principle represented in the lodge and by the first great light, and it's symbolized by the three lesser lights, which, being material, point out palpably to the senses, a reference to the operation of light on the mind. The subject can be treated only as the Almighty himself has condescended to treat it, in pity to the weakness and incapacity of his creatures, vis-a-vis a reference to material light and fire, under which his personal appearance has been manifested amongst men. These preliminary ideas naturally direct our attention to the divine Shekinah, or blaze of light, which usually accompanied the divine appearance on earth. It consisted of a visible splendor or pure emanation of the deity and has been termed splendor gloria Dei, as St. Paul described the glory of Moses' countenance when he returned from the mount. This supernal light protected Abraham in the fiery furnace of the Chaldees, as it did subsequently Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that of Nebuchadnezzar, showing that while the divinity assumed the appearance of a wall of fire for the protection of his people, he was the consuming fire for the destruction of their enemies. Abraham enjoyed the advantage of frequent revelations of light from on high, and the same Shekinah destroyed the cities of the plain. It was a gracious manifestation of light that the Almighty vouchsafed to Jacob when benighted and weary in his journey of Paddan Aram. He saw the vision of the wonderful ladder and the seraphim ascending and descending, which was intended to increase his faith, encourage his hope, and animate his charity. While the great architect of the universe, in a flood of light at its summit, gave him those cheering promises which were so amply fulfilled in his posterity. Moses at the burning bush was favored with the inspiration of light and received that holy and incommunicable name which still constitutes the awful secret of speculative masonry. The Shekinah manifested on this important occasion was a very significant symbol. The bush burned with fire but was not consumed, and Israel was subjected to the fiery oppression of Egypt and was not destroyed. Although possessing no greater power of resistance against Pharaoh and his people than the feeble bush to prevent the encroachments of the devouring element. Truth is, God was in the midst of both, and therefore fire and persecution were equally powerless. Moses was here instructed to approach the majesty of God with his feet bare and his face covered, and it was not until the deliverance of Israel from bondage that the light shone permanently amongst them. The preparations of this remarkable deliverance were solemn and imposing, and the difference between the darkness of idolatry and the light of truth, or in other words, between the spurious and the true Freemasonry, was specially manifested for the instruction of the Israelites, as well as the punishment of the Egyptians. A thick and tangible darkness was upon the latter for 3 days. But the Israelites had light in their dwellings. They were illuminated by the true Shekinah, or light of heaven, which was a mystery to the Egyptians, equally incomprehensible with the preternatural darkness in which they themselves were shrouded. The light shone in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. So as a deist, you read into this kind of work and out of it, that these metaphors, these stories, were just that. But knowing that people take them literally is a bit different. It's a bit different. But it is part of our history, isn't it? Our history. Well, as I read this, I think it's so enveloped in the language of the Christian faith. I wonder what my Hindi and Muslim brethren would make of it. If I'm thinking a little more about the universal application of Freemasonry, am I saying that, you know, the references to this scripture, these stories, Old Testament, have parallels in the Talmud to the works of the different faiths? We're sure that there are inspiring stories and metaphors in all of the languages, aren't there? That's it for today. I'm caught a bit surprised at myself. I'm not usually prone to the work of earlier Christian translations of the Bible and things like that. This version, the King James Version, it's, you know, all the limits that it brings. But there's so much more to understand. It's not a competition. It's not. As I read through the Quran, try and grasp the uniqueness of the messages that it contains, I'm left with that sense that Masonry, it sort of bubbles up beyond and embraces the ideas of all of these faiths as it embraces the people of faith. Have some faith. It also challenges us to understand what it is we're trying to do, what it is we're up to. Are we followers of arts and sciences, or is it just lip service? Are you committed to improvement? The work of that, the craft work of improvement, is change. Not on me, I have my own, but on you. Still resentful, still anxious, still rationalizing, really? Masonry does give us a much assistance in the libraries of the Masonic mind, the work, the research that helps us to communicate our own thoughts to ourselves are amazing. They're so thoughtful and penetrating. And at times we would like that to break out in a lodge, and it better suits private conversation. Always has, always will. Those private, intimate conversations that happen between Masons. That's what we need in order to share some of these carefully constructed ideas. I hope it's been useful in your plunge into the great unknown today. As we go by, Masonry is broadening. Our understanding is increasing. Day by day by day, you make that commitment to be, you practice. If you practice, and that is a matter of mindfulness, awareness. Yes, you are in a state of grace, if that's what you're pursuing. Each day as you practice, the goal is to be slightly better than what we were yesterday. And tomorrow we sit down and practice, and the goal to be slightly better than we were today. Interesting, huh? Find the inspiration about you by looking for it. You have to search it out. Be at ease with yourself. Live those honest moments. Honest moments, not where you're troubled, wringing your hands about what's coming, what happened yesterday, nor fretting about what's going to happen tomorrow, or trying to fit in and adapt. Be yourself. But go about your business without causing tension or inconvenience for any other living person. Be yourself. Rein in your emotion. Don't embarrass yourself with your temper. Nobody wants or needs to see that. Oh, the world does have, we do have impassioned views. But remember, everybody has an equal impassioned view. Whether they're saying it at the same time as you or not doesn't discount the fact that they have it. Whether they're heavily trained or not doesn't mean they're an insult to the human mind. No. Sometimes the simplest acts can convey some very, very powerful messages. And I'll leave you with this today, brother. Baruch Spinoza, a Jewish philosopher from way back. If you want the present to be different from the past, study the past. Do not weep. Do not wax indignant. Understand. Well, you know, I'm going to try and understand a little Clark Terry here, Satindal from Copenhagen. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for tuning in. Commit those acts of random Masonic kindness. Isn't this great, Satindal? This is a good version of 1985. It's written by Mason, don't you? Yeah. Keith Ellington.